Here is Pastor Craig Parker.
Morning, all. All right. So Chrissy bagged me out about 10:30 last week, getting her up, and it's 10:36, so God's got a good sense of humour. Let's pray before we get into it. Father God, we just ask that you'd continue to flow in this place. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you're already speaking to your people. Lord, I ask that you'd use me, not in my own strength, not with my own words, but with the message that you have for your people this day. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, okay. So, church, God's been doing some things to me lately. It's been good. It's been good. Maybe God does things in your life that just change things completely. Well, he's been taking me through a season of change just in the last couple of weeks. And out of those changes, I'm bringing this message to you. So please hear me. I might be preaching this message, but I've just had to walk through it as well. And the message this morning is based upon entering into a new season. See, I'm quite excited because God wants to position his church, that's us, for something new. He's been beginning to do that already. And I believe the way God does that, particularly in churches, that he shows some of the leaders which way he wants to move, so we're able to further equip the saints, that's you guys, to move in that same direction. So maybe he's given some of the pastoral staff here, maybe he's given some of the elders a glimpse of a new thing that he wants to do. Maybe some of you, in fact, I know some of you, have had a new thing happening in your life in the last few weeks. Let me just recap over some of the things that we've heard in our church that should mean this doesn't come as a big surprise. You see, God's been echoing this cry to his church, our church, to wake up. You see, it's his intention to usher us into a new season. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Alan Strudwick, he came here, he preached a great message. But before he had even said anything, his wife, Anne Marie, shared from Song of Songs 2:10-13. And she said this: "Arise, my dearest, hurry, my darling. Come along with me. I've come, as you have asked, to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time." Just remember that. "For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth." And then last week, Pastor Chrissy, she's sharing, and then she comes off her notes and she feels led by the Holy Spirit to say, "Wake up, church. Wake up." You know, the Holy Spirit is urging us to open our eyes afresh, to see new things, to fan into flame the gifts that he has already equipped us with. And it's with that same heart I want to speak to you today. You see, if you're waking up, or if you've just woken up, or if last week your eyes opened and you felt something that the Holy Spirit was leading you into, I believe there's a new season for you to launch into. But how do we do that? Because when we've just woken up, things are still coming into focus. Things are still kind of sometimes blurry. For those of you that wear contact lenses, like me, I'm like, I wake up, I'm like, I got to blink a few times before I even know anything about anything. So I want my eyes open, and I believe they are. And then I say, God, what is this new thing you want to do? You see, I believe the Spirit is stirring in us. Beyond just a warm, fuzzy feeling of, oh, my eyes got opened. Oh, there's a new season ahead. You know, forgive me, because I know that you can go to churches and semi-regularly hear a message about a new season. I think maybe even some of you in this room might go, oh, it's new season time again. In the church, we're talking about a new season. Oh, wow. It's been a whole 4 weeks since we talked about new seasons. I sense even there could be a little bit of apathy when we hear about new seasons. God didn't do anything in the last season. In fact, Craig preached about new seasons not so long ago. What have I got to show for that? Well, maybe, and I say this to you because I've just had to walk through it myself. Maybe God's asking you to open your eyes and to enter in and position yourself differently in this new season. Because he's not saying to us, it's coming, church, it's coming. He's saying, it's now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. You didn't miss the boat. Right now. And if you have any sense of apathy over the church speaking about new seasons, here's the rub. Sometimes we got to get up and move with the Holy Spirit to enter into a new season. You see, it's important that we understand that entering into a new season isn't a nice thought. It's not just a warm bit of encouragement. As it says in Song of Songs, if the barren winter has ended and the season has changed, there is actually a divine purpose being brought forth for you. Maybe God doesn't want us to go through the, oh, that's nice moment again. Maybe God wants us to grab hold of the very thing that he's presenting to us and asking us to run with it. You see, when a season changes, church, there's usually notable and visible change. There's transformation. And this shouldn't come as like any great big newsflash to you, because we're really, really, really good at preempting change of season in our lives. So let me explain. Bill's already spoken about his farm. Well, I haven't got a farm. I got a little front yard, a little bit of grass. It's probably about 3 meters by 3 meters. It's pretty small, but I love it. I cherish that piece of grass because I go back in England, I didn't have a piece of grass to like manicure and look after, but it's really, really an Australian thing to like get into the garden, and I want to embrace that. So for the last few months, you know, we got a bit of rain happening, and I've been a homeowner for what, 5 years now. I finally got it. I'm like, if you prepare for the season ahead, then the grass is going to stay green. That's in my head. I'm going, that's how it works. I've seen it. So for months now, I've been fertilizing this lawn. I've been putting like, lawn beetle stuff on it. You ain't going to win lawn beetle, not this summer. And I've been preparing. And you should see it. Oh, the pride, man. The other day, I was out, I was mowing my lawn, and it was looking crisp. And my neighbour comes out. And now I am just, check it. And she goes, Craig, what have you been putting on the lawn? It looks good. And I'm like, amen, sister, it does. So I'm proud. But that's just preparation, isn't it? Now, I've got a lovely lady in my life who is currently looking after our son, but will remain nameless for the purposes of my next illustration. It's the illustration of shopping and the change of season. In fact, I don't even know what the seasons. I was going to name like the change of season. I don't know what the shopping seasons change. But she knows it. It's like this sixth sense that she has. Boom. Season's about to change. New dress, new shoes. I don't even know where they come from. They just appear. Like, it's been raining all this time. And then the sun comes out. Bang, new dress. I'm like, wow, you look amazing. Where did you get that from? It's like, I was ready. Whew, I don't know how she does it. But she can preempt the seasons. And she picks things up just like quietly, like a ninja. But she's brilliant at it. Now let me speak to you sports people. Preempting the seasons. You play a sport and there's a season for it. You know what you've got to do in pre-season. You got to do the hard yards. You got to run. You got to prep. You got to strengthen yourself. You got to fix up and look sharp, because when the season begins, you want to be at full capacity. You want to be on the first day of the season, you want to be ready to go. You don't want to be half baked. You don't want to be the guy kind of lagging behind everyone else. You want to be at full capacity. Let me bring it even closer to home. What about if you're a youth leader in the place? If you're a youth leader in our church, they prep every term. Every term, you think like at the end of term three that they've just been sitting there for the last 3 weeks doing nothing. Man, they come in and they're prepping for term four. And you know, they're coming with all these ideas. They're like, Craig, we got this idea. What we want to do is put like a kid on the roof. And then we want to kind of like propel them off the roof onto a massive like crash mat. And I'm like, the roof? What roof? I'm like, this roof. I'm like, whoa. God, that's going to give somebody a real adrenaline buzz. Okay, cool. So what are we going to do then? Oh, we're just going to get a couple of the boys and we're just going to laz them. All right. Okay. And where's the mat going to be? Oh, it's going to be down here. Just saying, whoa, okay. All right, and what are the safety controls there? Oh, we haven't thought of that yet. Whew. Whew, that's faith in action as a supervisor to the youth ministry. Whoa, God, give me the right words. You see, who said no? One of our elders straight up, no. Thanks, Al. You see, we like it. We actually like the idea of being prepared. We actually like the idea of preempting seasons. We're good at it. It comes kind of natural to a lot of people in a lot of different fields. So surely, it should come just as easily when God calls us to a new season. Surely, if we're so good at preempting and preparing for a new season in the natural, then won't we just hear God's prompting and go do something about that? See, I want to look at an example in the second book of Kings for this morning's teaching. So feel free to open your Bibles. I'm going to go old school and read out of the New King James Version. But it's 2 Kings 3 in the New King James that I want to read out of. And it's... we're just going to start and you're going to have to follow. So listen up. This is the word of the Lord. Now, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. I know you're already still with me. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother. For he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Now Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder. And he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. Lambs and rams. But it happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. You're keeping up, right? So King Jehoram went out to Samaria, out of Samaria at that time, and mustered all of Israel. Then he went and said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Then he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "By the way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and now the king of Edom. So you got these three kings all en route to fight the Moabs, the Moabites, okay? Does that make it simple enough if you just got completely lost there in those last few verses? You got three kings, all right? They're joining forces and they're going to fight against the Moabites. Okay. All right. We carry on. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat says, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom both went down to see Elisha. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to your prophet, go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." Basically, Elisha gives them a big old crack. Says, "Get out of here." But the king of Israel said to him, "No. For the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But now, bring me a musician." He has given them one heck of a serve already. But then he just randomly goes, "Yeah, no, let's get a musician." So they do. And then it happened. When the musician played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones." Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And the story continues that basically the Moabites rocked up, thought that the three armies had butchered each other because they saw the water and thought it was blood. So they went down to the water to celebrate, to take the spoils. And basically the three armies came out of hiding and finished them off. You can read the story in the rest of the second book of Kings. You see, this is an epic Old Testament battle right here. But it has unique and unparalleled outcomes. See, for those three kings and their armies, they traveled. And for 7 days, they didn't see water. They believed that they were being delivered into their enemy's hands. Bill Crabtree stole a bit of my thunder because I reckon you guys have got a clue as to how this all pans out. God had a new thing. God had a different season in front of them that they could not see. God had a season of victory in front of the very ones that believed they were in a season of drought. You see, God had creative provision and miraculous intervention for them when all they could see was their lack in the wilderness. But this is the key to the message this morning. They inquired of the Lord. They asked. And we had a modern day testimony of exactly that same thing already this morning. They asked, "What does the Lord say?" And they listened. Not only did they listen, but they did. They acted. They were in a barren, arid, dry land. They had seen no water for 7 days. They had no good reason to think any water was on the horizon. But because they heard from the Lord, they acted. Despite all the natural signs saying, "You're beaten," they were obedient to the Lord. When does the Lord speak to us and we think, "Oh, but I can't do that. Oh, but that's not really my calling. Oh, but that's not going to work. Oh, yeah, I heard the new season thing a couple of months ago and nothing happened." What if the Lord is calling us to something where we go, "Oh, I feel a bit embarrassed to go out when the weatherman said it's going to be dry, but my God said it's going to work out. Oh, it's a bit embarrassing. What happens if?" You see, we don't want to look ashamed. We don't want to have our pride crushed. So sometimes we just go, too hard, too vulnerable. I'm not going to do it. But the Lord is calling us to a new thing, a new season, church. And I wonder, are we willing to dig the ditches that He's asked of each of us? Are we willing to take a step, even a tiny step, of faith that He's asking of us? And this is where the promise of a new season from God overcomes all the other seasons that we prepare for. You see, there's no promise, no matter how much fertilizer I put on that lawn, that the sun isn't going to beat down and scorch it and I'll have an embarrassing lawn yet again this summer. You see, there's no guarantee that those new clothes that someone might buy are going to be on trend or going to be necessary or even adequate for the season ahead. You see, there's no guarantee all the training in the world is going to reap the result that you hope for. Can I tell you, church, you know how excited I get when I start talking about my football team, Crystal Palace. So come August, I've waited a whole 3 months of the closed season. I haven't played a game. Come August, I've got my shirt on. Finley Bubba's got his shirt on. We're sitting there ready to go for the season. Start of August, what are we in? Second week of October. My team, Crystal Palace, they've done all the training, they've done all the hard work. Have they scored a single goal this season yet? That's not funny, Darcy. That's a prayer point right there. Have they won a single game? Have they got a single point on the ladder yet? No. They're breaking records, left, right and centre. All the records that you don't want to be breaking, they're doing it. Just when you thought Crystal Palace couldn't do it, we start breaking all the records that you never thought could get broken. What I'm saying to you is those things that we put our heart and soul into so easily, so whimsically. Well, do we do that with the Lord? I'm telling you this, church, not to condemn you, but because, as I say, I just walk through it. And maybe I've been sitting in the pews on occasion and going, oh, new season. Oh, isn't that nice for you? And maybe I haven't put action to the new season. Maybe I haven't seen the part that I need to play. But that's the reality of what God is currently asking from us, from you, from I, from our church right now. Where am I? You see, this is where the difference is when we get one single promise from God. Does God break his promises, church? No, he doesn't. So you got a guarantee when God promises you something. You have a guarantee that he's going to be faithful. One promise from God gives you an assurance. One promise from God gives you a victory. One promise from God presents you with his amazing, unrivaled, eternal power. And I'm wondering, church, are we hungry for a new season? Are we hungry for a new thing in the Lord? Are we thirsty for it, church? Have we been faithfully on the journey with the Lord and entered into dry land? Have we been faithful on the journey with the Lord and found ourselves in a wilderness season? Do you need to see a new thing? Do you need to see a new season in your life now? Because right now is when Christ wants to do that for you. Psalm 63 says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and behold your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as the riches of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you." Church, I want to get real honest with you and ask you to be vulnerable with me. Are you in a dry land? Are you yearning for another encounter with Christ in the sanctuary? Because if that's you today, even if no one around you even knows it, he wants to give you that encounter right here, right now, today. You see, we can look at that story in 2 Kings and say, you know, like, what, Craig? You lost me, man. Like, who did what with who and which king and, like, what land were they in? And, yeah, look, God won the battle, right? That was the point. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you tick the end box that God did win the battle. But the treasure in that story is in the detail. And this is the last piece of scripture I want to explore. We've already read it, but it's in 2 Kings 3:20, and it's a verse we probably all skipped over. Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. You see, the Lord brought the victory in the morning when the grain offering was offered. And we all know what the grain offering is, right? Yeah, me neither. Okay, so I had to do a little bit of homework. The grain offering was an Old Testament offering, one of the many different offerings made to the Lord. And it was outlined on how and when it should be brought to the altar in Leviticus 2. So if you want to check it out, there's a whole big section on the grain offering back in the book of Leviticus in the second chapter. The grain offering was unlike most of the other offerings because it could be brought to the altar of the Lord in a whole load of different ways, which was kind of unusual. In many respects, the grain offering was a personalized offering. So the person bringing that offering could personalize it. They could cook it or uncook it. There were a whole load of different ways that they could bring this grain offering, whoever it was. You know, in Leviticus 2, it says the grain offering was the most holy part of the offerings presented to the Lord. You see, grain was difficult to come by back then. And particularly in a dry and barren land, grain just wasn't growing off trees. You see, it would come at great, great cost for a person to bring a grain offering. It was personal, it was reverent, it was holy, it was a special offering to bring to the Lord. And while we don't need to bring grain offerings to the Lord today because Jesus came, we do still bring a personal, reverent, holy, and special offering by way of our worship. But at what cost? When the Lord wants to speak to us, and we kind of go, I can't do that. That's embarrassing. You want me to phone who and say what to them? I can't do that. That's embarrassing. I don't understand. You want me to leave this offering at my neighbor's house? What do you mean, Lord? What's that all about? I can't do that. That's embarrassing. I don't want to do that. You want me to speak to someone, to see and go and travel and bless someone? They're going to think I'm weird, man. Like, I can't do that, God. You want me to sing a new song? Oh, man. Nah. I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. We get embarrassed. We don't want to look ashamed. And sometimes we choose not to take action. But can you even imagine those three kings? They had heard from the Lord. Can you imagine if they had chosen, if they had gone, yeah, all right, rain, water, what? Dig ditches. Who's your God again? They had the opportunity to go, nah, I'm not doing it. There was not a drop of water, and they dug ditches. And then God intervened. These guys were far from perfect. Elijah makes that very, very clear. But they still moved when the Lord asked them to. The Lord's calling us to a new thing, church. A new season. Worship team, can you jump back up, please? And I wonder, are we willing to dig ditches? I wonder what he has for each of us. You see, this isn't like I'm just talking to 250-odd people and you don't matter. You got to play your part. God wants connection with you. That person that's doubting what their next step is in a work scenario. Has God not spoken to you? Has God not given you insight into that work scenario? And you're going, nah, I can't do that. That relationship that's broken. And God's saying, pick the phone up. And you're going, I can't do it. I don't know what to say. Has God not given you an instruction? That thing, that very thing that makes you uncomfortable. Even walking down this aisle, I go, what if I was to pick someone out? Would you feel uncomfortable if I said God was speaking to you today? Well, what if he is? What if he already has? What if you know that he's already spoken into your life and you've gone, no, I can't do it. I don't want to. You see, sometimes we've got to take action to usher in the new season. I'm telling you, church, forgive me. But if you're going, yeah, new season, heard it all before, it's probably for you. I say that because I've just walked through exactly the same thing where I've gone, nah, God, I can't do that. Nah, God, I'm done. I've given you everything in that area. I'm done. And he goes, but I told you how to do it. I told you it's not even in your own strength. This isn't your own idea. It's mine. I've birthed the idea in you. I've given you the idea, Craig. Would you walk in obedience? That's a great lesson from God. So often all he's asking for is our obedience. He didn't tell the kings that this is how I'm going to fill it up. This is where the water will come from. He didn't say, give them the exact hour. He just said, I'm going to do it. This is your part in it. You dig, I'll do the rest. And I wonder, church, if he's asked the same of you and you and you and you and you. And even those of you, you young ones, that you think you get away with it because I'm not talking to you. Those dreams, those visions, those things that God has put deep in your heart. That's what I'm talking about. Putting legs on those things. Putting action to those things, those dreams that God has given into you. Some of you older ones going, I've run the race. I've run the race real well. And I commend so many of our older people in our church. I love you guys because you set the example for the rest of us to follow. A new season. Oh, no, Craig. Yeah, I've had lots of new seasons. I'm good. I don't care. I don't care how old you are. God declares new season over his church. And that means from the youngest to the oldest. So I don't care if the doctor says it's bad news. Your Christ says, there's some new stuff coming that I'm going to use you for. There's some new stuff coming that I'm going to use you for. And not in your own strength. In his. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to equip you for all that is ahead to enter into a new season. So church, God wants you to play your part. And he doesn't want you to be scared. So here's my encouragement today. We're going to close shortly. I'm going to get off this stage because you heard enough from me. If you want that new season in your life, if you're saying, nah, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm actually going to take my first step of faith into a new season. Then come and do that. Come and do that. I say, come into the front of the altar of the Lord and say, yes. I'm not going to stand still. My seat is so comfy though. Take a step of faith in here. But this is not where it starts. This is like a symbol in here. Because outside of these four walls is where it begins, where you start digging your ditches. You can't dig nothing in here. This is concrete. Be really awkward. You mess the carpet up. There's a symbolic gesture to the Lord we can make to say, yeah, new season. Not yesterday. I didn't miss that boat. Not tomorrow. I'll get to it. I'll put it in my schedule. 9 o'clock tomorrow. All right, Lord? Nah, now. Now, 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 now. For all of you. For all of us. And then we go out and we put action to our faith. You know what it says in the book of James. So church, we're going to sing. What are we going to sing, Em? We're going to sing Consuming Fire. Let's fan it into flame. A passion for his name. Church, why don't you stand? And as I say, if you want to make that declaration today, come out. Stand before the Lord your God.